chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, 'They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots.' These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, therefore, saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. We'll be looking at this portion in just a few moments. But the love of God to send his son. He loved us so much that he was willing to come and to take our place on the cross. Certainly it's a beautiful, beautiful hymn, and it reminds us of all that we have through our Lord Jesus. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, as we look into your word tonight and we're mindful of all that our Lord Jesus has done for us, we just praise you and thank you for your willingness to suffer and to bleed and die for us that we might have everlasting life. Lord, bless your word to our hearts and help us to truly understand all that you have said to us, and may we truly comprehend what it means to know you and to love you, to serve you. Draw us closer and closer to yourself, I pray. And speak to each and every heart. Meet the need of each and every one, Lord. Encourage us and strengthen us in this world in which we live today with all that is happening all around us. We just pray that we might be faithful, that we might serve you and honor and magnify your name. We pray, our Father, tonight for all of those who are gathered together to worship you. We know that churches throughout America and throughout the world are gathered together to sing your praises and to worship the Lord Jesus and all that he is to us. And we pray that you would bless each and every one of us, unite our hearts together in one accord. May your holy will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the death of the king. On Sunday, we saw the crowds that welcomed him to Jerusalem with joyful phrases. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But a few short days later, we find him facing judgment and death. Betrayed by one of his disciples, denied by Simon Peter, forsaken by almost everyone. He stands alone before his accusers. The Jewish leaders gave him a mock trial, convicted him of blasphemy because he admitted that he was the Son of God. Now they bring him to the Roman governor to have him executed. And we see Jesus on trial. First, it starts off, it says, Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. The Roman scourging. This was a part of every Roman execution. The preliminary part was to beat him with a cat of nine tails, as they call it. Terrible, cruel punishment that many times would lead to the prisoner's death or tremendous weakness. even before experiencing the cross. They dressed Jesus here, it says, in a purple robe, as if he were a king, yes, but mockingly, they placed a crown on his head, but it was a crown of thorns. I noticed recently, we've been watching the news with the fire over in the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris, and they supposedly have the crown of thorn that Jesus wore. I don't know how it got to France, but anyway, this is what they claim at least. But certainly, this is all in mockery and shame and heaping these abuse on an innocent person, not to mention that he is the Lord God himself. Of course, they did not know that. But they had no right to treat him in this way. They bowed before him and they pretended to honor him as king while striking him with their hands. It was all a cruel game at Christ's expense. Pilate hoped the Jews would be satisfied with the scourging and allow him to release Jesus. It says here in verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Here's the judge, the governor, saying, He's an innocent man. He's innocent. I find no fault in him. There's no reason to hold him. There's no reason to beat him. There's no reason to kill him. I find no fault in him. He said that several times. You remember, well, he said in verse 5, Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pitiful sight, no doubt, having been beaten. And Pilate says, Behold the man, Ecce Homo. Here we have the famous saying, Behold the man. You remember John the Baptist had said back in the first chapter of John, verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And here we find it coming to pass, the Lamb of God willingly giving himself to all of the abuse and eventual death for our sakes. Unbeknown to Pilate, this pitiful wounded man was preparing to be the sacrifice that would set us free from our sins, and all of those who put their faith and trust in him would have eternal life through his sacrifice. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. From Isaiah chapter 53. Pilate allowed the mob then to determine his judgment. He had already declared, I find no fault in him. But we find that he gives in, surrenders to this mob of people, thinking that it's going to be a terrible situation if he doesn't. And the Jews said, "We have a law by he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. That's quite the charge, isn't it? To this Galilean carpenter has called himself the Son of God. He's somebody special, a king that has come, and from their viewpoint, he was blaspheming. They refused to believe what he was said. But here, they caused Pilate to be afraid of an uprising. You know, they had had other ones. Pilate before had had to put down uprisings and killed many people because they were rebelling against his authority. And here, once again, from his viewpoint, this is the way he saw it. If I don't give in to them, they're going to rebel. They're going to come against me and my people. And then he was afraid of offending Caesar because the people said, you know, he calls himself a king. And he's putting himself in the place of the of Caesar. And she gets to him in verse 12. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Now, Pilate was a lifelong political man, and one to be Caesar's friend was a title that they had when you were in good standing with him. And she said, "If you let this man go, you will not be Caesar's friend." And he thought about it and thought, you know, I certainly don't want that to happen. I don't want to lose my position, and I don't want to get into trouble with the emperor. So finally, we find Pilate literally washing his hands of this whole matter. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, where it talks about it. Matthew 27, see if I can find this very quick. 27, 24. There we go. It's a long chapter. There we go. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." You know, we talk sometimes with this expression, "I'm just going to wash my hands of the whole thing." Apparently, this is where it comes from, right? Pilate says, I'm not going to take credit for this. If you want him crucified, you have to do it yourself." And yet, we know, of course, he could not pass the buck, so to speak. He couldn't rid himself of this terrible crime that he was committing against Jesus. And so the people answered, and this is something even worse, I believe. It says, "His blood be on us and on our children." What a terrible thing to say, to put that upon themselves and upon their future generations. And look at John 1:11. I wrote here. This it says it here back in the very beginning of the book. It says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Here we find the official rejection of Jesus by his people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So out of all of this, we know that in spite of the gruesomeness of it, this was God's plan of redemption. And behind everything else, God has made this possible for us to be redeemed. What a mystery that is, huh? Think of it. There was no other way for us to be redeemed. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. There was none of us that could save ourselves. And so God himself had to take human form and come and pay the price for our sins, that we might be redeemed from all of our ungodliness. And we find then Jesus is taken to be crucified. Pilate caves in. He gives over. And the people cried out, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." This is the end. They did not want this man to rule over them. So he delivered him unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So he began walking, carrying the cross. I understand it was on the cross beam is what the prisoners would carry. But it weighed about 100 pounds or so. And he was carrying this to go to the place of execution. And they had this special place right outside of the city of Jerusalem that was designated for these crucifixions. And he was heading toward that place called Golgotha, or it's called in other gospels Calvary, which means the place of the skull. As he was going, of course, Mark tells us he fell beneath the weight of the cross, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So, this man, who was an African man, actually, from Cyrenia, and coming into town, the Roman soldiers had him take the cross and carry it with Jesus. And he did. But it mentions here that he's the father of Alexander and Rufus, and we take it from that the ones that Mark was writing to knew who these people were. Apparently, they had become Christians. And maybe this was because of his relationship with Christ here at this time. He came into contact with the Lord Jesus and apparently became a Christian. And his family were believers. So that's an interesting sidelight to all of that. And they took Jesus and mentions and two others. I was reading through the various Gospels this week, and I noticed here John doesn't, he just calls them two others. And a couple of the other places, one of them says that they were malefactors. That means evildoers. And then a couple of the Gospels call them thieves. And so we find that these other two men were guilty and they were receiving the just punishment for their deeds, as one of them said. But Jesus, of course, was not guilty. He had no sin. And yet he had the same punishment as these thieves and robbers. They crucified him. Pilate put a sign up over his cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And they tried to get him to change it because they didn't want him to say that. They wanted him to say he called himself the King of the Jews. You know? He claimed to be, but he wasn't really. But Pilate says, what I have written, I have written. Finally, at least he had enough backbone to at least say that. But here we find I got this from my Scofield Bible, talking about what happened at the crucifixion. And I'll just run through this right quickly. They arrived at Golgotha. They offered Jesus a stupefying drink that he refused to drink. Jesus is crucified between these two thieves. They hang there. He utters the first cry from the cross, which is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The soldiers take apart his garments, as we've seen here in our reading tonight. They took and divided his garments among them and cast lots for his robe. The Jews here are mocking him and saying, if you're really the Christ, come down from the cross. The thieves rail at him. But then one of them repents, remember? And he says, we are guilty, but he's not. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You know, that's about the only time we see a deathbed, you might say, confession, conversion. This man, he couldn't do anything else. He was nailed to the cross. And all he could do was put his faith and trust in Jesus. And that's what he did. And Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. Right? That's what it takes. We can't do anything to save ourselves. We can only put our faith in him. It mentions here about the ones at the foot of the cross. His mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, his aunt, and another Mary, and then there was the disciple, John, was there. And Jesus committed his mother into the safekeeping of John. He told her, he says, woman, behold thy son. And he says to John, behold thy mother. And he took her to his home. So Jesus was thinking, even on the cross in his suffering, thinking of others, of his mother, of his disciples. And then the darkness came. 3 hours, pitch black, from 12 noon until 3 in the afternoon. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? From the 22nd Psalm. Then he cries, I thirst. As we see here in our text, I thirst. And they gave him something to drink, but put it to his mouth. But then right after that, it says in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, this wine vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. I heard a preacher talking about that this week on the radio, and he was saying this is the most important phrase that's ever been. Whether that's true, I'm not sure, but it says, it is finished. This is what it takes for us to have salvation. He died to take away our sins, to give us eternal life, and there's nothing to add to it. There's nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It's only the Lord Jesus has done all that could be done to redeem us. Jesus did not die for his sins, right? He didn't have any. But he willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice in our place. He said in one place, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And we'll see that he did that on Sunday. He died for you and me that we might be forgiven of all of our sins and have eternal life. All he asks is that we place our faith and trust in him and receive him as our Savior. That's all we can do. Do you know him tonight? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. If not, call upon him and he will save you. He's promised, right? The Lord will not lie. He tells the truth. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Good Friday, the day that Jesus provided salvation for all the world, for everyone. And all we have to do is receive him, take him. Believe in him, and he will give us that eternal life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for this occasion once again as we think upon that time long ago when Jesus went to the cross and died in our place. He paid the price. And we thank you for that. May we live for you, O Lord. May we love you. May we serve you. May we do that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Speak to each one of us tonight, our Father. If there is anyone here who has never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we pray that this would be the time when they would do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.